Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, sir. Ushers come at this time. Praise God. We want to receive our evening tithe and offering. Praise the Lord. Amen. Daryl, would you ask God's blessing on the offering, please? The Lord. So, one more announcement to those that I talked to you about the ministering at the Carroll County Detention Center and the training that we have to go through on that. I just want to remind you of that day, Friday, April the 22nd, and I'm sorry, the 26th, April the 26th, from 6:15 to 9:45. And I need to know how many is going by the 24th. We need a head count by that Wednesday. Praise God, and it'll be at the Crosswinds Church out there on 27, so we will meet there and go to that. So if you want to go in and be part of the ministry team, praise God, or just do Bible studies with the inmates, make sure you let me know so I can give them a head count. Praise God. Any prayer requests this evening before we go to the Lord in prayer? Yes, Tracy. Prayer request. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Somebody else tonight? Praise the Lord. Yes. Prayer. Praise the Lord. Amen. God got some new ones. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody else tonight. Praise God. All right. Praise God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. Praise you, Jesus. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your goodness and your grace. Father God, we thank you again tonight, Lord God, and that you are a provider. You're our healer, Lord God. We thank you for the good news and the testimony of Bryce, Lord God. Just Father God, just pedaling that bike normally. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight that your son Jesus is truly our healer and our provider. We rejoice in that healing tonight, Father God. We rejoice in the salvation, Father God, and Lord, that has taken place this past week. And Lord, how you are plundering hell, praise God, and filling heaven up. Hallelujah. We rejoice in that, Father God, for the several funerals, Father God, that took place last week. God, I thank you for your comfort and your grace ministering to all these families, Lord God, and just drawing them to you, Lord Jesus, tonight. Father God, I just thank you for my father. God, I thank you tonight. God, that you are the God that healeth thee. Father God, and I thank you for his total and complete healing in his body, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. So, Father, just bring victory, Lord God, and minister to every need there, Lord God, this evening. We claim your healing power in Jesus' name, Father. And just, Lord, just for all that you're doing in all of our families, we rejoice in that, Lord God. And we just thank you, Father God, for all of our loved ones, wherever they're at right now, whatever they're going through. We plead the blood of Jesus over them. Hallelujah. Devil, you will not kill, steal, nor destroy, because you are bound in the name of Jesus. We loose the healing, salvation, anointing of God, and I loose the angels of God around about our family members and loved ones, saved or unsaved. They will not die. They will live. Hallelujah. And the blessing of the Lord will be upon them. We claim it right now. We loose those angels in Jesus' precious name. We thank you for it, Lord, in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 16, Mark's Gospel, the 16th chapter, praise God. God has really laid on my heart. I preached on healing Sunday morning and just really laid on my heart to share several messages on healing. I'm not going to do that tonight, but kind of flow a little bit with that this evening in just a little bit different of a direction. But I shared with you last week about John the Baptist, and the Bible said that from the time of John the Baptist that the kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it by force. In other words, the kingdom of God has a forceful advance. The gates of hell will not prevail against the marching army of God moving forward, praise God. He has no defense for it, amen, other than deception in a lukewarm church. There's not one little thing he can do, but there's something else in that, and that is God has really also spoken this to my heart, and that is especially those who are praying, those who are leading, those who are really serious about moving forward in God in revival and outpouring. I can promise you this also, that the devil will try to kill, steal, and destroy. He will try to do things. I shared with you last week how Peter said, you know, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus turned around and said how blessed he was because he got that from the Father. Then Peter turned right around, and right after that, his next breath was, may that cross be far from you. And Jesus turned right to him and said, get behind me, devil. He said, you are an offense unto me, or a stumbling block, or something that tries to get me off course. Jesus, the Bible said, made his face as flint. That cross back there, he was going right to that cross, and he would not allow himself to be good to the right or to the left. He was going for it, and the devil tried to get him off track, put a stumbling block and get him off. So the devil he'll try to get us off track. And there's another thing I can promise to you that we might not like, but it's true, and that is what you teach and what you preach. I can promise you, you will find out if you have what you believe, because you will have to walk it out. I can promise you that things will come against you, and you'll have to walk it out, but don't be discouraged. God's word is true. God's word is faithful, praise God. And even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, he's with us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies, praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Then goodness and mercy follows us all the days of our life. I'm preach myself happy, praise God. Mark 16. And in this portion of Scripture, Jesus is actually, he's chewing the disciples out a little bit. The Bible says he is upbraiding them. So he's getting on them because he had already told them that he was going to die and rise again on the third day. And they were having a hard time believing that. So he's getting on them. So when he's, a lot of time when we read the portion I'm getting ready to read, it's just like he's kind of standing there talking to his disciples, telling them what to do. But he's really kind of getting on them a little bit, because they have pulled back after his death, and now he's getting them motivated to go back forward again, praise God. Verse 15, and he said unto them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. What's the word gospel mean? Good news. Hallelujah. Praise God. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. These signs shall follow them that believe. We have any believers tonight? In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven, sat on the right hand of God. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with, and the word them, is, if you got King James, is in italics, meaning it's not in the original text. So let's read it without it. The Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following, praise God. So obviously he was working with them, but let me know, God can't work with us if we're not using his word. He confirms his word with signs following, praise God. So they went out, they were preaching the word, praise God. So tonight, I want to look at Jesus, the name above all names, praise God. We have been given the name of Jesus. We just sang about that, praise God. That wonderful name of Jesus, praise God. Would anybody in here tonight put up with an old sloppy, muddy hog coming in your living room? Get a big stick and drive him out. Amen. And the same thing ought to be true when it comes to the devil. Amen. We ought not put up with him for one moment. We ought to have holy anger. Like the phone call I got, some of you guys know about it this evening, but somebody's family member is over in the hospital right now. Holy anger rises up within you. you think to yourself, how dare you, stinking devil? I mean, it makes you mad spiritually, and you do this. You put on that full armor of God, praise God, and I just said, Lord, let me have that person, praise God. Lord, you know, the Bible says that in the book of 1 John, if somebody commits a sin that's not unto death, you can pray for them, praise God, and God will give them to you, amen. So let me have them, Lord, praise God. I'll go get them, amen. Amen. Let God just use us, praise God, in that wonderful name of Jesus. His name is Jesus, praise God. And so when Mary had Gabriel show up, when she was just a virgin without any pregnancy, and the angel Gabriel shows up and says, the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, and on the inside of you is going to be conceived in your womb the Holy Child, praise God, of the highest, and his name shall be called Jesus, praise God. And the word means Yahweh is salvation, praise God. God is salvation. That's what the name of Jesus is, praise God. And he tells them why. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So he is a savior, praise God. And a lot of times when we think about salvation, we think about missing hell and going to heaven. And that is part of, but that's not all of it. How many know salvation means healing for your mind, healing for your body, deliverance, praise God, provision, it literally means to be made whole, praise God. It means that you're shalom. The Jews say that to each other, right? Peace, praise God. And that peace is not an outward peace, but it's an inward peace that consumes you. It's the peace of God, praise God. It means that you are whole. You have that shalom. So salvation means to be made whole, praise God. And so then he said his name will be called Jesus, and then for he shall save his people from their sins. And so that was like a big bell that went off in hell, said, uh-oh, here comes the prophecy. Here he is coming, this one that is prophesied in the Old Testament that he will come and bruise the head of the seed of the serpent, who is the devil. And the devil said, I've got to do something about this. So he stirred up Herod and tried to get him killed, but that didn't work. He ended up missing him because the devil knew that his days were numbered. And how many know he knows he's defeated today, praise God. And we have that wonderful name of Jesus to use on him, praise the Lord. Somebody, if you will, Colossians chapter 2 in verse 15. Colossians 2, 15. That's talking about Jesus, having disarmed or spoiled principalities and powers, praise God. He stripped the devil at the resurrection, did he not, praise God, and took all of his power and all his glory from him, amen. The devil has been defeated, praise God. Let's go back down to the book of Genesis. Let's look at that here a little bit. In Genesis chapter 22, praise God, Genesis 22. Praise God. Amen. I just thought about a story. You know, when you use that name of Jesus and you're right with God and you have revelation of that name, I want you to know fear strikes through the heart of the devil. The Bible says that he believes and trembles. Praise God. And if you're walking close with God, how many of you know the devil doesn't want to mess with you? Praise God, because you have the name of Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I remember when I was in, this is a story I just thought about. I can't, and I guess Dad won't mind me telling, but I was a kid, and we were roller skating. Me and Daryl were roller skating around the block, just out on roller skates. Mom and Dad had taken a walk around the block, and this kid started picking on us. He was picking on Daryl, so I roller skated around and got a hold of Dad and come back. And Dad, I'll never forget, Dad took a hold of this kid and picked him up and shook him. It said, boy, I don't know exactly what he said, but the kid knew he shouldn't better not mess with Roger George's sons anymore. And after that, all I had to do was say, you want me to get my dad? And that took care of that kid. It was over with. I mean, they've got the name of Jesus, praise God. And the devil's been defeated by him. And if we walk close with him, praise God, we can use that name. Not only can we use it, we need to use it, praise God, and keep the devil under our feet. Now, Genesis, excuse me, chapter 22 is the story of when God tells Abraham to offer up his son Isaac on that sacrifice on Mount Mount Moriah, which is the same place that God offered up his son Jesus, praise God. He told him to offer up his son as a sacrifice, and he did that, and we know that God stopped him and provided the sacrifice for him. And so he said in verse 15, this is right after that happened, verse 14 said he called the place Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide, or God will be seen providing, praise God. In verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of the heaven the second time and said, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thee, thy seed as the stars of the heaven and the sand of this upon the seashore, and thy seed, notice he's not saying plural, but singular, seed, shall possess the gate of his enemies, praise God. And in thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. And now we know why God told Abraham to offer up his son, because he was in covenant with Abraham. And if Abraham was willing to offer up his son Isaac on that sacrificial mountain that day, and he was willing to do it, and he was willing, man, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 that he was fully persuaded that God was able to raise his son from the dead. He fully intended on killing Isaac when he went up there, and he fully intended on watching God raise him back up, praise God. The Bible says that in Hebrews chapter 11, but we know Isaac had no redeeming quality in him, but he's a type of Christ. And so if Abraham's willing to offer up his son, Isaac, then God, being his covenant partner, was willing to offer up his son, praise God. And that's literally what it means when he said his name was Jehovah Jireh. If you study that out, it means more than God is provider. It literally means God will be seen providing, praise God. And so when did we see God provide? That's what Jesus said when he said, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced to see it. He saw it right there, praise God. He saw the day of Jesus in the type and shadow, praise God. And what I love what it says there, his seed will possess the gate of his enemy, praise God. Who is Abraham's seed? Jesus, amen. And are we not also, when we become one with Christ, and then if we belong to Christ, then are we Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise, praise God. So he said there that he would possess the gate of his enemy, praise God. Go with me to Isaiah 14. Isaiah 14 is a prophecy about the devil and his fall. Isaiah 14, and I'm not going to read it all, but he said in verse 17, this is God speaking directly to the devil, he said, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of his prisoners. So there it says that the devil had a house with prisoners in it. Back in Genesis, the Bible said that Jesus would possess the gate of his enemy. Praise God. All right, let's go to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. So before Jesus Christ defeated death, hell, and the grave, Bible said that hell had two compartments. There was an upper compartment called Abraham's bosom, and the Bible said where there was no pain, and then there was the lower hell where people were weeping and gnashing of teeth. The Bible said that when the rich man, he went down to hell, he looked up into Abraham's bosom. There was a great gulf in between them. You could see back and forth, but you could not go back and forth. So if you died in the Old Testament, because the blood of Jesus hadn't paid the price for sins yet, you couldn't go to heaven. You had to go to Abraham's bosom and wait there, praise God. So when it said there in Colossians 2:15, that Brother Ralph had just read, where it says, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly. I mean, somebody was watching when all this happened, when he defeated hell. But 1 Peter chapter 3 in verse 19. It says, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. So these were people that were locked up, not able to come out. And then he tells even about Noah's time right there. So Jesus, the preacher that he was, praise God, even when he descended down into hell, he went down there and preached. Amen. He went and preached down there that he is the Christ, praise God. Go one a little bit farther. Chapter 4 says in verse 6, "For this cause was the gospel preached unto them that are dead, that they may be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit." Praise God. Amen. Now, it just gives us very little detail of what happened during those 3 days and nights. But we can obviously pick part of that out there. And someone says, well, you know, people were in hell then and they got the gospel preached to them. They got another chance. Well, this was a one-time event. He's not going back. those that are there now are going to stay there until they get cast into the lake of fire. But I just want to point this out a little bit. Here is Jesus came. Adam had given the kingdoms of this world over to the devil, and Jesus came to get them back. And so people were held captive because of their sin, because of Adam's sin in the garden. And so therefore when they died, they went to hell in the lower part, or they went into Abraham's bosom. And there the Bible said in verse 19 of chapter 3 that they were in prison. They couldn't come out. And the Bible said there in Isaiah 14:17 that the devil would not let them out of that prison. But he said back in Genesis chapter 22, where we just read, because he has done that, his seed will possess the gate of his enemy. Praise God. How many know Jesus unlocked it, praise God, when he arose from the grave on the third day, praise God. Somebody, if you will, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, praise God. And then also, Billy Jones, if you go to Revelation 1:18, please. So somebody first, Ephesians 4:8. Right, praise God. So when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive. Praise God. What is he talking about? Those that were held captive, those that who could not come out of the grave because of their sin, and the blood of Jesus wasn't paid for yet. I mean, hadn't put on the mercy seat yet. Revelation 1:18, Mr. Billy Jones. Amen. Praise God. So Jesus said, "I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore, and I got the keys," praise God, "to death, hell, and the grave," praise God. So then, and all this is important because Satan had all this power and authority because Adam had given it to him by his fall in the Garden of Eden, but the second Adam came back to whip him and take it back, praise God. And he did just that, and he put his blood on the mercy seat, praise God, paid the price for our sin. He emptied out the upper region of hell called Sheol, praise God. He emptied it out, and he ascended on high, and he said, "I got the keys," and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, praise God. And then he came right back to this earth. He went to the apostles and said, "Now you go take my name, cast out devils. If somebody's sick, heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out devils, speak with new tongues." Isn't that exciting? We've been given his name. That name has already defeated the devil. He is a defeated foe. Amen. You know, you know, if you walk into the Muslim world, and I know Osama bin Laden is no longer around. He is off to his reward. But you know, the last thing he wanted to hear, or Saddam Hussein, last name they want to hear is George Bush. Right? Because he sent the United States forces over there and put a thumping on them. And when they hear that name, I can just imagine, you know, remember Saddam Hussein in his little hole when they found him, all scruggly beard, you know, and he comes out, says, my name is Saddam Hussein, president of Iraq, hiding in a hole. Because he had been defeated, praise God. And all you have to do is use that name, the name of George Bush. That's the last thing he wants to hear, because he knows that name is greater than his name. And that guy, not only just his name, but the power and the authority that president had and used it to come over there and defeat him. How much more than the name of Jesus that God has given us, praise God, who has defeated the devil. So when somebody's born, their name doesn't mean a whole lot, does it? Just like, for instance, there was one day there was a guy born by the name of George Patton. It was just another name. But then World War II rolled around, and he arose up as one of the great generals, right? The guy was crazy. Read the guy's story. He was a little out there, believing in reincarnation and all that. He thought he fought different wars and came back as a great general and all that stuff, but he was a great general, was he not? And ask Adolf Hitler. That's the last name he wants to hear, right? Is George Patton. I mean, that guy, and I've met soldiers that were in his command when he was over there in World War II in their march for Berlin. He had a personal mission. I cannot say verbally what he said he was going to go do when he got there, but when he got there, he was going to take care of Hitler. And you know, we don't know exactly what happened to Hitler. They believe he committed suicide, but he's not around anymore. But how many know now that because of what Patton did, that name has some power to it? That name has a ring to it. How much more the name of Jesus, praise God. Not because he was just born a baby in a manger. Man, Jesus didn't come to get the victory for us. For himself. He came to get it for us, praise God. He already had it. But he said, he shall call his name Jesus. And so he rose, praise God, grew up. He went to that cross. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. And he arose again on the third day with the victory, praise God. That name means something in heaven, in earth, and under the earth, praise God. And he has given us that name to run the devil smooth off. Praise God. There's so many places I want to go. Hebrews chapter 1. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews chapter 1, let's begin reading in verse 1. God, who in sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, the power of his word, when he has by himself purged our sins. Verse 3, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by an inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So Jesus is his second Adam name, is his name for as coming down as being a man, all God, but yet all man. You shall call his name Jesus, praise God. And it says that by an inheritance, he has obtained a more excellent name than the angels, praise God. How did he obtain that name? He defeated death, hell, and the grave. That name has been given to him, praise God. And let's see here, verse 5, For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. And again I'll be to him a father. Talking about in the resurrection. He shall be to me a son. Again, when he brings the first begotten into the world, and it's talking about the resurrection, not being born in Bethlehem, but let all the angels of God worship him. And unto the angels he said, who makes his angels spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. And here's what I want to get to. But unto the Son he says, thy throne, O God. So this is the Father speaking to the Son. Is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Praise God. So I want us to picture this here just for a minute, if we could, because we've got the Word of God to paint the picture for us. But you remember back in the Old Testament when Queen Esther went into the courts of King Ahasuerus. And when the queen went in and she went in there without permission, you know, the king could have her, you know, executed or whatever. And so she kind of went in with faith and knowing that if that king wanted to, he could have her, you know, executed or whatever. But one of the ways that you knew it was okay with the king, and the Bible said that she found favor with the king when she went in there, that the king would stretch out his golden sepulcher towards her, or the person came in. And if that golden sepulcher is pointed out towards them, then it's okay, and they can come in and they have the petition of the king, praise God. So I want you to, if we can tonight, just a little bit, to catch this picture, praise God. Jesus. Now, and we all know that he's God. We all know all that. But at the same time, he became a man, did he not? He took on flesh. I'm not lowering him, he lowered himself. He humbled himself and took that position himself. He stripped that glory off in order that he might become a sin offering for you and I. He was made to be sin. He died. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. He arose again on the third day with his blood, praise God. And here we have a picture of what happened in heaven, praise God. When it happened, the Father took that scepter of righteousness, praise God. Here Jesus steps in after he was made sin, praise God. His righteousness defeated that sin, praise God. After he was made sin, he walks into the courts of heaven where his blood's on the mercy seat, and the heavenly Father takes that scepter of righteousness and points it to him and says, he says, thy throne, O God, is forever, praise God. You have loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness above your fellows. He said, you in the beginning have laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands, praise God. And he said, they will grow old like a garment, like a vesture. You will fold them up, but your years shall remain forever, praise God. And he said, let all the angels of God worship him. How many know that name's above every name? He is the King of glory, and he is sitting on his throne in power and majesty. And what an honor we have to use that wonderful, wonderful name, praise God. Amen. The Bible says in Mark chapter 4 that when the Jesus said this even about John the Baptist. He said there was none born greater than John the Baptist, yet he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Why is that? Because John the Baptist didn't have the name of Jesus to use. He wasn't born again. He was spiritually raised up to sit with Jesus Christ in heavenly place. You know, a little tiny baby Christian just born. And I really believe, this is one of the first things Jesus taught me. I mean, the second after he's born again, if he's got any revelation that Jesus is above the devil, he can use it on the devil, and the devil has to flee. He doesn't have to grow up, even as a little baby, praise God. And so the scripture says here's a little baby Christian comes to church, and finds out that a lot of these things that's going on in his life is a direct result of the devil trying to kill, steal, and destroy. But some preacher stands up and preaches the name of Jesus. And that little revelation light comes alive on the inside, praise God, and it hits him. And that believer, praise God, the anointing comes on him. And it says, how dare you, devil? You're the one that's been doing it. And turn right around at that devil and say, those that believe in my name shall cast out devils. He didn't say you had to believe for 8-10 months. Once you believe, praise God, you have the authority to use that name, and we ought to take it and use it on him, praise God, and run him, like I said, smooth off, praise the Lord. Amen. Philippians chapter 2. Hallelujah. Philippians 2. Praise the Lord. Philippians 2:8. Once again, this is talking about Jesus, praise God, who being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself, became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now that name's pretty well above everything, isn't it? If it's in heaven, earth, or under the earth, that covers everything, praise God. And this is obviously, this is talking about people, but not just people. It also talks about beings, things. Beings, praise God. And not just beings. I mean, just even things. Sickness. The name of Jesus is above it, is it not? And it has to bow its knee. Amen. How many know cancer is a name? And the name of Jesus is above it, praise the Lord. Amen. Sugar diabetes is a name. in the name of Jesus is above it. How many know faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God? Praise God. Amen. And we gotta keep preaching it, and faith will get stronger. Begin to act on it, praise God. And the more you act on it, the stronger it gets, the weaker the things of the flesh and the devil are, and the more the power of God comes back in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ the way it ought to be. Amen. And God's glory comes, because he is the head, praise God. And the anointing flows from the head, and his name is Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen. Who wants to read Acts 4:12? I don't get to have all this fun by myself. Praise the Lord. Amen. Who's got it? Someone lift your hand up. You want to read it. Acts 4:12. Praise God. All right, Daryl, you're all right. Wait a minute. Dave's got it. Go ahead, Dave. Hallelujah. There's no other name given among men, whereby we must be saved. And it's the name of Jesus. Let me give you the context of it a little bit. If you remember that the resurrection had taken place, they were out preaching the resurrection. They were doing what Jesus told them to do in Mark 16. They were going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature. They were laying hands on the sick. The sick were recovering. And if you remember, the crippled guy at the gate called Beautiful was there. He was begging for alms. He was over 40 years old, born crippled, praise God. And Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, and this guy was begging for alms. And he's begging for alms, and Peter said, "Look on us." He said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk," praise God. Notice he had the name. And he had revelation in the name. And he said, "Rise and walk," took the guy by the hand, lifted him up, and instantly his ankle bones received strength, and he went walking and leaping and praising God. Praise God. And the Bible said they were all in the temple marveling when they saw this guy, knew who he was. And Peter said, "Why stand you marveling?" He said, "The same Jesus that you crucified, God has raised from the dead, and his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong in the presence of you all," praise God. And that caused the Sanhedrin to get upset, right? And they arrested the apostles and pulled them aside, and they said, "You better stop preaching in that name." You know, the devil doesn't mind if we even say God. He doesn't mind that name, because God can mean a lot of things, right? To the Alcoholics Anonymous, that chair might be a god, so you can call that God. He doesn't mind that too much. But you bring out the name of Jesus, it totally changes everything when you put the name on there. Matter of fact, it's real easy to find out who the real God is, because the Bible says, "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain." Have you ever heard somebody cussing the name of Buddha? You know why? Because the devil doesn't stir anybody to cuss him. I remember saying something like, "Oh, Buddha," right? Have you ever? Because there's no power in the name. That's why the devil doesn't stir somebody up to try to use the name of Buddha in a cuss, because there's no power in it. Is God, and then they begin the damn thing, or is Jesus? And we know the way they use his name, because the devil knows that's where the power is at, and that's why the devil doesn't want us mentioning the name of Jesus. And even times, you know, I've done a lot of public praying and things like that. Sometimes they want you to water it down, and I refuse. You don't mention this. Well, you invited the wrong guy. Amen. We're going out door to door witnessing and all that. And there's more signs everywhere now saying no soliciting and all this stuff. And, you know, you're going to get in trouble. I said, I'm knocking on doors, and the lady goes, "Man, you guys better watch it. Somebody will call the police." I said, "This is America, isn't it?" That's what I said to the person who told me that. It still is America, isn't it? And they said, "You got to get permission." I said, "I already got permission." It's right here. Go into all the world. Might land me in jail, but I still got permission to do it, praise God. And I'm not going to stop. And I've been invited to the things, and I can just see them. You know, they're all nervous. Is he going to do it? And I do it. I pray in the name of Jesus. I don't pray in the name of the Most High, Exalted Creator of the universe. and leave it go at that. I don't do that. I pray to the Heavenly Father in the name of His Son Jesus, because that's what the devil doesn't want to hear, that name, because that name is a resurrected name, and it's above every name. It's above alcohol, amen. It's above drugs. It's above a mind that cannot be controlled, you know, by the natural man. It's just confusion, worried, and all that. Start using the name of Jesus on it. Watch it. See if it doesn't line up, straighten up. Praise God. When fear comes against you, say, fear in the name of Jesus, you have no place in me. Matter of fact, my Bible says, fear, you're a spirit. And God hadn't given me a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and of a sound mind. Now, spirit of fear, I will not yield to you. Amen. I refuse to get afraid of things. I didn't say fear doesn't come against me. It does. You ever go get a chainsaw and cut down a big tree, stand right beside it when it's falling, see if fear don't try to get a hold of you? One of the best ones that I did when I told somebody that was raising funds for Boys and Girls Missionary Crusade, that if they raised $1,500, that they would pay for the preacher to jump out of an airplane. And I said, all right, let's do this thing, praise God. I was a pastor, and Butch was a youth pastor, and I said, if we raise $1,500, I'll jump out. If we raise $3,000, I said, dumb and dumber will jump out. Dumber didn't have to jump. we didn't get that much. But when we got in the airplane, I've never done it before. I think airplane rides are kind of cool, man, when they start going. I always think about the rapture. When that airplane starts lifting up and that earth gets smaller and smaller and then breaks off into grids and you ride up above the clouds, praise God. Amen. You can get a sermon all the time. You get up above the clouds, man, the sun's always out. Just got to get above the clouds, praise God. Amen. And I got up there in this little airplane. And you get up there and you're looking, they got this plexiglass little window, and you can't, it's not big enough to stand up in. You're just hunched over like that. And they sling the window over. You're hanging on the edge of that thing. And there's no turning back in. It's just, here we go. But you got to bind that spirit of fear. I told the devil, I'm getting up there and I'm jumping out of this thing and I'm coming back whole, praise God. And I told the church that, and one guy, right in the middle of me telling them, he goes, brother, we're not supposed to tempt the Lord thy God. I said, we're not tempting him. This is for BGMC, man. This is not tempting God. This is for a good cause, praise God. But we got to resist those things, do we not? Fear comes against us. We have to resist it. We have to stand against it. I don't care what comes against us. If it's a cold, amen, whatever comes against us, we got to start using the name of Jesus, praise God, against it, amen. Proverbs 18:10, we'll wind it down with that, praise the Lord. We've been given a name that names above every name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I went 120 miles an hour downhill. And when we hit, oh, this is awesome. I loved it. What is it? Yeah. The funny thing is they had a guy videotaping it. So you're flying down like this, and you got a guy comes around and you're right in front of you, looking right at you. You got a video cam on there. And I didn't realize how loose all this was until you get the video out there and you're free falling at 120 miles an hour. I guarantee your skin's flapping. It's time for a lifestyle lift. That was a good while. Yeah, you got to give you a thing, what they call that thing, something-ometer. What is it? Yeah, that. And it tells you how many feet you are above the earth. When he said when you hit a certain amount of feet, that's when they'll pull the ripcord. So we hit that, you pull it, and it feels like you're going straight up, but you're not going up, you're just slowing down real fast. Then you just float around for a while and come on down. I did what I do? Nah, that's too embarrassing. Yeah. For $1,500, we will show it. Praise the Lord. Who's got Proverbs 18:10? Hallelujah. Amen. His name's that strong tower. It's the place we were high and lifted up. We are safe. Hallelujah. We've been given a name, church, and it's not. God expects us to use his name. Matter of fact, he said in Colossians 3:17, every word we speak and every deed we do, we should do it all in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight for that victorious, wonderful name of Jesus. And Lord, all of us in this room under the sound of my voice, because we know you as our Lord and Savior, we have a name that we can use. Not just can use, we've been commanded to use it. It's the name of Jesus. At that name, demons tremble and fear. There's victory in that name. There's victory. We sang this song, there's healing in the name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Demons tremble at that name. God, give us the revelation of the power of the name. Give us revelation of what it really means that when we've been born again, we've been raised up to sit with you in heavenly places. You have put all things under your feet. We are the body. We are the body. The feet are in the body. Everything is under our feet. And you've given us that name. And Lord, this might sound blasphemous to a religious world, but in reality, we are the body of Christ. We are your body on this earth. You're the head, you're in heaven, but we are the body. And the head and the body are united, and the name belongs to all of us. We are Abraham's seed. Hallelujah. So, Lord, may we give no place to the devil. May holy anger rise up within us when we see the devil killing, stealing, destroying. May we put on that full armor and do something about it. In Jesus' name. Father God, may we walk out of this room tonight as victorious, risen conquerors in Christ Jesus. Use us mightily. Use us mightily. Use us mightily to minister to people with the power of Jesus' name. God, let that anointing flow where we lay hands on the sick and they recover. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I mean, I feel that so strong tonight. Let's receive that. God has really spoken that to me strong, that he wants to restore healing back to the church. The healing power of God moving in the church once again. Father, I pray for those who need healing tonight. And in the name of Jesus, we release the healing power to flow through your body. Lord, you said in Ephesians chapter 5 that no man ever hates his own flesh, but he nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord does his church. God, you love us. We're the body. We're your flesh and we're your bone. Hallelujah. And you're our healer. We receive that tonight, Lord. Lord, as we go our separate ways, keep us strong. Bring the men back together for Bible study, for men's meeting tomorrow night. Bring us all back again Sunday for worship, Lord God. We just give you the praise, the glory. We give you the honor. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.